What are some lessons from the courtroom that you would apply to convince people to take a first meeting?
Sales and courtroom are very different in a way, because you can't, to have a direct approach can often be too much for a juror. Sometimes you have to let them see your credibility first. So for example, if Claire, let's say that I represent one party, Chris represents another, and we're in the courtroom, and Claire, you're in the jury, right? You're your everyday consumer and customer. And if I go up and I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to follow this case, and after all the evidence, you're going to find that everything we've done is to the book. Everything is perfect. There are zero complications with our case, zero problems with it. And what you're going to find is that you should be in our favor. Chris goes up and says, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to let you know that the facts are going to speak for themselves today. And yet we did some things that, well, we could have done better. And some things I don't really like about that are facts, but we can't change the facts, can we? And life goes on. And you're going to find at the end of the day, you should find out our favor. Claire, between the two of us, let me ask you, which one sounds more credible to you?
The one that's going to connect more rather than just convince.
Right. You got it. So even though Chris's side says, look, I have some mistakes, I have some bruises on my case, it's going to connect a whole lot better than somebody who feels like, who was in my position, they're just selling you something.
Right.
They feel like, oh, wait, you're going to come here and say there's nothing wrong with your product? You're going to come here and say everything with your customer service and everything you have is top notch, a million to one? We know that's not the truth. And so what you'll find is that the showing people your bruises and what you could do better and making sure that they understand that where you're coming from is a place of wanting to help them and teach them rather than you having to prove something is always going to build that connection a lot faster. And that would be my thought from the courtroom off my head.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely. It's great to meet you, Claire.
You too. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, I love that answer. That's about being a straight shooter.
Yeah.
Everybody likes a straight shooter. Tell the truth. We're not perfect. I'm not hiding from where we're not perfect.
Oh, if you say something in an opening argument and it's not what the evidence shows at trial, they will punish you for it. So you have to make sure that what you deliver is straight all the time. Hey, Harper.
Amen. How's it going?
Where are you from?
I am living in Los Angeles, California today.
Oh, that's awesome.
Very cool. Thank you both for having me on. Chris, I saw your masterclass, and it is a masterclass, and you are continually giving us a masterclass. And Jefferson, man, every day following you, love what you do. Now that I know that you have a podcast, I'm going straight to that. So thank you.
Thanks, Barbara. Appreciate you.
Thank you. My question today to both of you is, when you're talking to someone and it's a tactic, they laugh at you. You say, oh, well, you know, I see it like this. Or you say, and they go, oh, yeah, of course you would. How do you deal with that?
Chris, you want to take this one first?
Well, you know, my first reaction is that I'd label it. I mean, if they're going to laugh at you, if they're going to dismiss you like that way, what's the underlying thing? The underlying thing, basically, to really go, if you really want to go for the jugular, they're telling you that they don't trust you yet. And my first reaction is going to be to use a label and say, something sounds like I haven't earned your trust yet. Just like that. That's my first thought. Jefferson, what do you think?
Well, I think Chris said something a minute ago on someone else's call that I really like. When somebody is laughing like that and you're not telling a joke, Harper, what does it make you feel, first off?
Like I'm not being taken seriously, even though I'm talking to them in a voice like I'm talking to you. It's like, why would you laugh at that? We're having a discussion. It just feels dismissive.
Mm. Well, in many ways it is. And so the laugh can be just as much impactful or a show of emotion as someone who might cry in an argument, might get nervous and shake in an argument. I know someone, and you might too, who when they get nervous situations, they laugh. They don't mean to, but they can't help it, or they giggle, or they cough a few times. It's this kind of just reaction in your body. So be mindful that what they might be doing could be something that is just a mechanism of their body doesn't know how to take that interaction because it might be difficult for them. But if they're taking it from the aspect of being dismissive of you, that's a little bit different. It's okay to pose those questions of did this come across funny to you? Or am I being taken seriously in this conversation? Or I need to know that I'm being taken seriously. These little things of ways to use to check in, because if they find that what you're saying is humorous when it's not, you want to be real quick about how long you'd be in that. You're going to stay in that conversation, because the longer you stay in it and the more dismissive they are, I'm going to use the phrase that Chris used at the very beginning of this meeting. It becomes kind of a death spiral is the word. It's not going to get any better because you're going to continue to feel like you need to prove yourself in this conversation. Right. Like they need to apologize, which is only they're going to feed on that and make them feel like all the more reason they need to dismiss you. So I just be careful on it.
Okay. So there's nothing to say, just state your point, do what you can and get out.
Well, let me hold on, because I want to add in an answer, because I like a phrase that Jefferson used earlier. And his characterization here is you got one or two counterparts. You got somebody who it's a defense mechanism. Their heart is not in the wrong place. Their reaction is inappropriate, but that's a defense mechanism. It doesn't mean their heart's in the wrong place. Or you got somebody whose heart's in the wrong place. Now, the other question that I'm tempted to want to ask here, you know, Jefferson talked earlier, sending a text back, a response in an email or text, did you mean? And what you want to find out is which one of these two actors you have on the other side. And if you were to say, did you mean to be dismissive? Don't say it in a mean way. You know, delivery mm-hmm. is everything. But that inquiry, their reaction to that inquiry is going to tell you who you have.
Okay.
And then you make up your mind whether or not you're walking away, and you might, you know, that's an option, walk away politely. But if you throw that inquiry out based on their reaction, if they're simply defensive, their heart's not in the wrong place, they'll catch themselves. And now you can engage in potentially a productive conversation. They just got a bad communication quirk, a bad communication habit that's defensive in nature. And then you make up your mind which one you want to go to. So I love, did you mean, as an inquiry to diagnose, that Jefferson was talking about earlier, I can see use for it in a lot of different situations.